Just halfway through January, and we already have a winner for the weirdest story of the year.
Notre Dame linebacker Manti Te'o famously lost his girlfriend to leukemia earlier this year.
Te'o's supposed girlfriend never existed. That's right, there was no woman by that name.
It was a story that stunned the sports world like no other. In 2012, Manti Te'o had led Notre Dame to an undefeated regular season, been named Defensive Player of the Year, was the Heisman Trophy runner-up, all while supposedly reeling from the death of his girlfriend. A girlfriend who, it turned out, had never existed. Today, ESPN's Don Van Natta brings us the backstory of how the Te'o hoax unfolded and why so many of us got fooled. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Tuesday, January 5th. This is ESPN Daily. So, Don, the newest episode of Backstory, your investigative docuseries for ESPN, focuses on the tale of Manti Te'o, who is, on the one hand, this college football phenomenon who led Notre Dame to an undefeated regular season back in 2012. That is true. But he is more infamously remembered by sports fans for being catfished. It was reported, confirmed, that Te'o's girlfriend, his then-girlfriend, who he claimed had died of cancer, was actually not a real person. And so, Don, this is just one of the strangest sports stories of the last decade, I would contend, ever, actually. So what made you want to revisit the story of Manti Te'o for Backstory?
Because all these years later, there's so many questions that have lingered.
Don Van Natta is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and the host of the ESPN docuseries Backstory.
Remember, we all bought into this incredible fable, and that's the word for it. It was a story that was too good to be true.
Manti Te'o elected to come back for his senior season.
Not only will he leave that program as one of its greatest defensive players, but also as one of its most beloved.
The media swooned over it. As fans, we all loved it. And then we found out it was completely false.
Notre Dame says Te'o has told them he's been the victim of a hoax perpetrated by others. What do you make of this?
It raises questions about why the media fell for the story. Were there warnings that Manti had during that autumn that maybe he set aside? I would argue, Pablo, that all these years later, we still have these questions about whether Manti was complicit or not. What did Manti know, and when did he know it? And so for me and for the Backstory team, the whole conceit of the series is to go back on sports stories you think you know, and we felt there was a lot of room to run here and do new reporting and try to answer some of these lingering questions all these years later.
For this story, Don, you got to speak directly to Manti about the hoax, which figures into a large part of your piece. But before we get to that aspect of it, I want you to take us back to 2012. What type of football player was Manti Te'o? What kind of media coverage was he receiving before that 2012 season?
Oh, well, he was a dominant player for Notre Dame. He was a co-defensive captain, and there was some thought that he was going to skip his senior year and go right to the NFL draft. He was good enough to do that, but he decided to return for his senior season.
Te'o's on the quarterback, sacks him on the 25-yard line. The senior from Hawaii.
3 weeks into that 2012 season, Don, Manti Te'o's life is upended. What happened?
On September 12th, 2012, Manti got the news that his grandmother had passed away at the age of 72. And just 6 hours later, he heard that Lene Kakua, his girlfriend of about a year, had passed away from cancer. So it was a double whammy that he heard about within 6 hours. And yet he was determined to still play against Michigan State.
This week, Manti Te'o lost the two people in his life that he was the closest to. On Tuesday morning, Manti's grandma passed away. And then just a few short hours later, Te'o's girlfriend lost her lengthy battle with leukemia.
The reaction from fans, from media, to his decision to play despite the losses of his grandmother and his girlfriend, how would you characterize that?
It was remarkable. Everyone just fell in love with Manti's courage and his resilience in the face of this unspeakable loss.
You go through some tough times. It's not just about playing football. It's about being around your guys.
And fans were all in for him. Even opposing fans were cheering him. So it was a universal story. Manti was playing through this incredible adversity and doing it so eloquently.
I'm just so grateful for, you know, all the fans supporting me and my family and my girlfriend's family. And I miss him. But I know that I'll see him again one day.
So it's a story that we all bought into. And when I say we, as fans we did, but the media did as well.
I want to clarify what the media, what we, the royal we, Dot, we media types, we gas bags, what we were purporting Manti was. Because the AP, the New York Times, cover of Sports Illustrated, College Game Day, they show Manti to be a particular kind of person. Who was he?
A person of great faith. Somebody who is deeply religious. Somebody who had that faith tested in a real way. And despite that, wanted to make good on a promise he made to Lene Kakua, or who he thought was Lene Kakua. And that is, after I die, I just want you to continue with your life and continue to play. And, you know, that struck a chord in all of us.
Manti Te'o becomes a Heisman finalist that year. Notre Dame has this perfect 12-0 regular season. And Johnny Manziel wins that Heisman. Alabama crushes Notre Dame in that national championship. But Manti's star, Don, at this point, is rising. He's the best defensive player in the country. He's scheduled to graduate, become a first-rounder in the draft. But 3 days after that title game against Alabama is when everything changes. What happens?
Well, there's a phone call to NFL insider for ESPN, Chris Mortensen, by a longtime source of his, the very powerful agent Tom Condon, who is the agent for Manti Te'o. And the tip that Mortensen hears is that there was a hoax perpetrated on Manti Te'o in the fall. He was catfished. Catfishing is the act of luring someone into a relationship by assuming a false online identity. Manti wanted to describe this to the world and do it on ESPN. So ESPN had an opportunity to give Manti a platform to describe how he was a victim of this terrible hoax. ESPN began negotiating for that exclusive interview. And then a day later, unbeknownst to ESPN, a tip comes to Deadspin, an email tip that says Manti Te'o is a fraud. So you have these two tracks, and it ended up really becoming a race to see who would get there first.
This part of the story, I mean, is complicated because we, Don, work for ESPN, and yet you are sort of opening the kimono here as to how ESPN was making decisions as to compete to get this big story. What was happening in those conversations? How far along did we as a company get in terms of getting close to actually obtaining that thing?
Well, the first thing you have to know is that there were investigative reporters at ESPN shortly after the tip came in to Mort that began checking databases, checking with sources, and very quickly determined that Lene Kakua did not exist. In fact, a story was put together, a draft of a story, a day later. So the same day that the tip comes to Deadspin, ESPN internally has a draft of a story saying that Manti Te'o was hoaxed.
Mm.
But Vince Doria, the head of news at ESPN at the time, who was doing the negotiations with the Te'o camp for that exclusive interview, my sources tell me, basically let it be known that those reporters should stand down, stop their reporting. Getting Manti in the chair in front of a camera was going to take precedence over anything else.
So ESPN is pursuing this interview with Manti, Don, and our friend reporter Jeremy Schapp gets assigned to that. And meanwhile, Deadspin is still investigating this story. What do they ultimately find?
They find out that the photographs that were used to depict Lene Kukua are actually a California college student named Diane O'Meara. Diane O'Meara said, "These are photos of me, and I actually sent one of these pictures in December of 2012, just the month before, to Renaya Tui Asisopo, a high school classmate who they very quickly determined within a matter of a few days was the person who catfished Manti Te'o." It was a nifty bit of investigative work that was done very quickly. But again, Pablo, it raises the question of why reporters in the fall of 2012 didn't do a lot of this work, because it's basic Google searches and other searches of databases. You know, there was no obituary of Lene Kukua. There was almost no footprint of her except in the stories that she was Manti Te'o's girlfriend.
So those intrepid reporters at Deadspin, Jack Dickey and Tim Burke, they're able to conclude that Lene Kukua is not a real person and, in fact, seems to be the invention of someone named Renaya Tui Asisopo. What do they make of this enormous scoop?
When I interviewed them for Backstory, they said they initially saw this as a story about the failure of sports media. In the stories in the fall that we all read and watched, there were all sorts of contradictions when you really drill down in the facts about precisely what happened here. So they were sort of gleeful that they were going to be able to stick it to us here at ESPN, you and me, Pablo, and everybody else, all of our other colleagues.
Yes, yes.
So that's what they really thought the story was. It surprised them that the story became this worldwide sensation and that the catfishing and the hoax aspect of it became so big.
All right, coming up. Don, I want to discuss your findings about whether or not Manti Te'o was in on this hoax.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, Don, Deadspin finally releases their story on January 16th, 2013, and it's titled Manti Te'o's Dead Girlfriend, the most heartbreaking and inspirational story of the college football season, is a hoax. How would you characterize how the larger media world and general public perceived it?
Well, it dropped like an atom bomb on the sports media world. It was this upstart blog, Deadspin, it was only 7 years old at the time, scooping everybody with the biggest story they had had in its existence. That's number one. And then there were reckonings at every sports desk that had covered the Te'o story The question was, how did we miss it? How did we get this wrong? How were we fooled? Was there a red flag that we should have seen, or that we should have checked out, or that we should have run down? And, you know, that occurred for days and even weeks after that's been broken story.
ESPN, Don, they are still determined. We are still determined to get that first exclusive interview. What was our next move as a company here?
It was to continue to do what we started on January 10th, and that is negotiate the terms of a sit-down interview with Manti. So Manti now is not going to be given the opportunity to be the first person to tell the world that he was hoaxed. And there's a lot of value in that, right? First impressions mean a lot. So the negotiations now with the Tao Group, and that includes Matthew Hiltzig, a crisis communications specialist who was brought in by Tom Condon, and Vince Doria, the head of news at ESPN at the time, are what are the ground rules going to be for this particular interview? And it turns out ESPN agreed to a number of ground rules that the Manti Te'o camp insisted on. One of them was no cameras for the interview with Jeremy Schapp. They wanted no cameras present because the camp said that Manti would be more comfortable that way. Only 2 minutes of audio from the interview would be allowed to be made public. There was a lawyer present for Manti. That was another one of the ground rules. And so the interview occurred at the IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. After a couple of more days of wrangling, Jeremy Schapp was there with Manti Te'o for 2.5 hours.
Wow.
More than 300 questions were asked. Manti denied being involved in the hoax repeatedly and unequivocally.
There was one line in the Deadspin story. I'm 80% certain Manti was in on this. Mm-hmm. For the record, once again, were you in any way part of this?
No. Never.
Never.
Ever would I be part of this.
He also did acknowledge that he tailored his stories at times to make it sound as if he had met Lynae Kakua.
You described your relationship often in a way that suggested you had met her.
Mm-hmm. I kind of, you know, tailored my stories to have people think that, yeah, he met her before she passed away, so that people wouldn't think I was some crazy dude. I even knew that it was crazy that I was with somebody that I didn't meet.
Jeremy Schapp first told the world about the results of that interview past midnight because there was a late college basketball game on.
Right, right.
And it was not a large audience for that. And so the first we heard about Manti's reaction to all of these allegations was through Jeremy Schapp, recounting what he heard and saying that he did believe Manti to be sincere. But I would argue that that was not doing any favors for Manti Te'o at the time, because he didn't sit across from Jeremy Schapp with a camera so we in the audience could look at him, listen to how he was answering those questions. The Manti camp did not want that to happen, and I believe that's a big reason why all these years later, there's still all these lingering questions.
What did Manti say about this whole catfishing operation? How did it work?
It was this elaborate scheme led by Renaya Tui-Asisopo. Hours and hours and hours of phone conversations, texts. Manti got to know family members, purportedly, of Lynae Kakua. It was just this elaborate scheme to draw Manti into it.
I wonder what you think about his version of events in your accounting of them through backstory. Does he seem like a naive victim here of a catfishing scheme? To what degree does he seem to have some culpability in this?
He's definitely naive. I found no evidence that he was in cahoots with Renaya Tui-Asisopo. I know there are some people that suspect that. He's denied it. Tui-Asisopo has denied it. However, I think there is plenty of evidence that Manti sort of leaned into this story. Tommy Craggs, the former editor of Deadspin, claims there were two hoaxes, the hoax that was perpetrated on Manti Te'o by Renaya Tuiasosopo, and then a second hoax that Manti was sort of in on with this choice of language and the way he described this great love of his life, even though he never set eyes on her and never met her. And I think in investigating this and looking deeply at it, there is certainly some evidence there.
So what are some of the examples of the times that Manti leaned into this story, as you say?
Probably the most revealing one, and maybe the one that did the most to turn this into a legend, was during an interview Manti did with Sports Illustrated's Pete Thamel on September 23rd, 2012. This is just 11 days after he finds out Lene Kukua died, and he used very passive language repeatedly in that interview with Thamel and almost seemed confused about key details. Manti didn't know Lene Kukua's major at Stanford. That was really striking because on the field after games and in other interviews, he's calling this woman the love of his life.
Never felt that way before. This is 6 hours ago. I just found out Grandma passed away, and you take, you know, the love of my life. Last thing she said to me was, I love you.
Could you tell us about your girlfriend?
Possibly the most beautiful girl I've ever met.
He was warned on Twitter by a couple of people in early December that Lene was not real, and he blocked those people on Twitter. But he probably had no doubt on December 6th, 2012, when he was in Orlando for the College Football Awards ceremony, when he got a call from Lene's phone number. And it was Lene's voice saying, I faked my death back in September. That call certainly put Manti on notice that something was very wrong. There were plenty of open-ended questions that were asked of him. You know, what did you take away from this season? As Chris Fowler asked Manti at the Heisman Trophy ceremony on December 8th, just 2 days after Lene Kukua called Manti and said, oh, by the way, I'm not dead. Te'o's answer was immediately about Lene.
There were a lot of cameras around you this year. There was so much public sharing of very private moments. Which shared moment will you never forget?
I'll never forget the time when I found out that, you know, my girlfriend passed away, and the first person to run to my aid was my defensive coordinator, Coach Diaco. And, you know, he said something very profound to me. He said, this is where your faith is tested.
And so when you combine those kinds of comments on the field, in the locker room, it's very striking.
Also, around this time, Don, TMZ uncovers this video of Renaya Tuiasosopo, the alleged catfisher in question, and Manti Te'o hugging each other after that enormous USC victory that season. And that video certainly made it seem like they knew each other. But just to be clear, and to the best of your knowledge, did they know each other?
I did a lot of work trying to figure that out. The best that I can tell you is that they were distant acquaintances, that their families knew each other, but both of them have insisted publicly that they were not in cahoots together. The last time we've heard Renaya Tuiasosopo speak publicly about the hoax was on the Dr. Phil show in January 2013, when he told Dr. Phil that he was in love with Manti. That's what motivated this hoax.
As twisted and as confusing as it may be, I cared for this person. I did all that I could to help this person become a better person. The truth of it is that happened. I grew feelings, I grew emotions that sooner or later, I couldn't control anymore.
And that's the last time we've heard from him. He has not said anything since and did not respond to my many attempts to get him to cooperate with Backstory.
It's important to note here that Manti did not press any charges against Renaya. Why is that?
I believe it's because Manti insists that he is a person of faith. And as part of that faith, forgiveness is very, very important to him. also part of Manti's motive here was that there were reports that Renaya Tuiasosopo might be suicidal. He wanted to forgive him and just move on. I'm surprised by that. I think a lot of us are. Why he would not sue Renaya Tuiasosopo or say something publicly about that anger. He moved on, and that's one of the real curiosities.
So, Don, in this episode, in this backstory episode, Jeremy Schapp describes Manti Te'o as the perfect victim. In what ways was Manti Te'o the perfect victim?
Well, he's somebody who believes strongly in faith. He believes, as he has said publicly,
faith is believing in something that you most likely can't see, but you believe to be true. Sometimes it's taking that, people say, that leap of faith. You know, you don't see what's on the other side, but you feel in your heart and in your soul that it's true.
He's also a star athlete who doesn't have a lot of time. He found comfort in this relationship because Lene Kakua was somebody he could talk to at the end of his busy day and brought him some emotional support that he really felt he needed. He has said, she was real to me. The emotions I felt about her were real. So he was the perfect victim because he's somebody who's very trusting and he believed her without ever setting eyes on her. So after she passed away, Manti still viewed her as the love of his life. And as I say in the episode, you know, who are we to doubt somebody's love?
Okay, up next. Don, you were able to speak with Manti this fall, and I need to hear about what he had to say.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So, Don, you spoke to Manti a couple times on the phone in reporting this piece. Manti is now married. He has spent much of this season on the Chicago Bears practice squad. So what did he have to say?
Well, the first conversation I had with him, he opened up. We talked a lot about faith and forgiveness. He said it was a very dark time for him after the catfishing. He said again that he had nothing to do with it. But he told me, you know, he didn't know where to go. He didn't know who to trust during that autumn of 2012, and he just felt stuck. Then he agreed to do the on-camera interview with me on November 18th in Chicago. We had a crew ready to go there. Mm. And then the week before, I found out he had some issues. He had been approached by a production group from the Players Tribune and Netflix that were going to let him tell his story his way, he would later tell me. He's being paid for that project. He has a measure of control on that project. Mm. And he backed out. He backed out of our interview after committing to do it. And I believe it's because he didn't want to answer a certain line of questions that I wanted to ask him, in particular about a quote he gave on that College Game Day piece. And it's that line, faith is believing in something you most likely can't see, but you believe it to be true. Mm. To me, I wanted just to ask him, could you have been possibly thinking that about some doubt you may have had about Lene Kakua? This is just a few weeks after her death. He said it didn't have anything to do with that. And if I ask him about it, the interview's off. And even if I include a clip of what he said, the interview would be off. And as a journalist, when somebody tells you to not ask them something that you, who you're trying to interview, it's a tell. I just want to ask you that question on camera. Whatever your answer is, the audience will see and they can make their own judgment.
Don, I know you wanted to ask Manti about that faith quote and that it carried this sort of larger implication and resonance. What else did you want to ask him?
A very simple question is, at any moment before Lene Kukua died or after she died, was there some signal? Was there some moment, a clue where you thought, this isn't what I thought it was? I just wanted to ask him that very simple question on camera so the audience could hear what his answer is. Now, he might have said, never. I never had any doubt until I got that call on December 6th when I was in Orlando at the College Football Awards ceremony that something was wrong here. The audience could look at him, see how he answers it, and make their own judgment.
So, Don, let's zoom out here for a second, because this is a story about one person's culpability, but it's also the story of an industry's culpability. What's your biggest takeaway in revisiting all of this strangeness?
I think it's that Manti Te'o and the media were partners in this story that ended up being too good to be true. I think there was culpability on both sides. The way Manti described this great love of his life that he lost and that he was playing through because she wanted him to was irresistible to us in the media. Manti was giving tells in the way he was vaguely describing this relationship, and yet the media plowed through. We wanted it to be true so badly that we sort of checked what we're supposed to do as journalists at the door, and that is check everything. If your mother tells you she loves you, check it out. And, you know, and we did not do that here. So I think that the takeaway from the story is that there was enough blame to go around for everyone.
Don Van Natta, thank you for testifying to the power of fact-checking on ESPN Daily.
Thank you, Pablo.
The latest edition of Backstory, The Tale of Te'o, is available now for on-demand viewing on the ESPN app. I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.